Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio. The show centered around paying attention. That's interesting. Our intro didn't go live, so we'll just carry forward. Today is Friday, December the 18th. It's 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Today's topic is CogMed, an insightful discussion among coaches. With us in our studio is Allie Kaufman, and we'll get into things in a second. But before we do, I want to just announce some upcoming shows. We are going to be on break the 25th and New Year's Day, but we will resume January the 8th. On that show, Linda Ruggie will be joining us, the ADD Diva, who specializes in coaching mature women who have attention deficit disorder. And then while it's not posted yet, I'm hopeful that on January the 15th, Barbara Luther will be on talking about her distraction zone diet. Barbara does have ADD inattentive, and she's been working with diets and has found some that has done some a diet that actually has helped her substantially. So we'll be talking about diet, in particular ADD in relation to dieting. And then on the 23rd, we have Alan Graham scheduled to come on, and we'll talk about normal behavior. But enough of that. Again, today's topic is CogMed, an insightful discussion among coaches, and we have Allie Kaufman with us. Allie is the founder of Space of Mind, and she's about coaching and creative programming to help you understand how to pay attention to organizations. So, Allie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Tell our listeners a little bit about Space of Mind and yourself and, you know, coaching and creative programming to help people understand and pay attention to organization. Just to kind of, if you would, just describe what you're all about.
Sure. Well, Space of Mind is pretty much that state of mind you're in when you have to be somewhere with something, possibly to meet someone, and you're juggling all of those other things that are happening at the same time. So what my company, which I started 5 years ago, we work to help people through coaching and working memory training and creative programming, which we offer for schools and professionals and organizations, as well as working with people in their own spaces at home, at school, and at work to understand how does your individual brain think about those things that are fundamental to organization, paying attention, emotional belief systems, things that get in the way. How do you feel about clutter, about communicating the way that you do things? So all of these things that roll up under self-awareness, self-esteem, communication, all are very crucial to understanding how one person organizes. And we can think about organization in all different ways. People can be pilers, or they can be filers, and much of the time we're also avoiders. And we can be more than one thing at a time, the same way that we can process information more than one way at a time. So the work that we do through my company Space of Mind is to help people either individually, as a family, as a work group, to understand how is everybody wired to process information, to show up and pay attention, to be motivated to think creatively and unblocked enough to think creatively, to know what to do with the things that otherwise would end up becoming clutter.
And that's one of the reasons I was real excited to have you on the show. Particularly, you articulated a few things. One is you'd look at each person's individual brain and how they work, and trying to work with them to understand organization and organization as it relates to them. That's really kind of powerful because so many times, and what the show's very much about is you know, it's just not organization. That's just a big umbrella. The question is, how do you do it? And there's many different ways you do it. So the key is to understand how you individually go about things and how you see it to kind of help you move forward.
Right. And it's one of those things that we aren't really programmed to know how to talk about. 50 years ago, nobody showed up at the dinner table and said, "Oh my God, I feel so disorganized." And certainly now it's almost as taboo our clutter, whether it's mental clutter or physical or electronic clutter, it's almost as taboo a topic to talk about as love or sex or money or weight or any of those other things that we don't really talk about, but that exist and are very vital to existing. So, yeah, it all, you can't get organized unless you can get past the either what's getting in the way of getting started or the fear of getting started or the emotions that have to do with whatever you're organizing. And oftentimes that's the hardest part.
That's interesting stuff. The one thing you said a minute ago when you're going through that is you started talking about working memory training, kind
yes.
of honing on kind of today's topic. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Right. Well, there's two things that I've found that are really fundamental to understanding and getting organized, understanding the way that you organize and then getting to a point where you can be organized. One is, like I was just saying, understanding how your brain is wired and what emotions go along with organization and getting to a place where you can define what it means for you. The other part is training your brain to actually be better at the things that are fundamental to being organized. So the term is working memory, and essentially what working memory is the ability to remember to pay attention to what you're paying attention to. And certainly that's something that anybody, whether you have a diagnosed attention challenge or not, everybody has a capacity for working memory. In the recent past, it was thought that working memory was set. You were born with a certain amount, it didn't go up, and you probably lost some along the way. But we thought of that as a very set, a set level. And now what the recent science is showing is that working memory can in fact be trained, and when trained, it has a very real impact on things like attention and organization, and sort of the peripheral results also include better social skills, more motivation, listening better. I've had, you know, family say there's less fighting because there's more patience and time and thoughtfulness. So working memory is the part of the brain's muscle that can sustain long pieces of attention. And the tool that we've been using with our clients is CogMed, which I think is just so impressive because it's so evidence-based. It's a Swedish company, and the developer of CogMed, Torkel Klingberg, is, you know, the guy who literally did write the book on working memory. And he is doing some incredible things through CogMed with evidence that they're showing. And it's all data driven. So there's wonderful back end data that happens throughout the training process that we've incorporated into our coaching.
Interesting. So just if I hear what you're saying is and what you guys do, there's the two fundamental steps: is the understanding, and then the actual getting your, you know, training the brain. And the understanding step, and correct me if I'm wrong, my interpretation of what you're saying is pay attention to what you pay attention to, or pay attention to how you naturally do some things. So that's part of the mm-hmm. understanding. And there's a little bit of coaching that you do to kind of help people become aware of that, so that you know what you're dealing with. And then the next step is the actual training and training the working memory to kind of conform or kind of promote what you're doing. Is that accurate? What I just
yep,
described?
And then exactly. And then the third part of that is that we actually help our clients, you know, create the systems and implement them. So whether it's through technology or old school methods, that, you know, whatever, based on the awareness and the increased ability to sustain attention, we can then look at, well, how can we change the environment and the systems that are going on within. But what we typically do is we start with changing the environment and the systems. And if you don't change the underlying pieces, which is the emotions and the actual ability in the cognitive presence to be there and paying attention, then the systems, the likelihood of you nailing the right system is lower because you're not changing the fundamental distraction, so to speak.
Absolutely, absolutely. If you're misaligning everything, so the idea is to line everything up here.
Mm-hmm.
Ali, can you talk a little bit more about CogMed and working memory, kind of how it works, and just the, I'm sure there's a few people like listening that like, you know, a couple buzzwords, but if you could give them some, a little bit more insight on exactly what's going on and CogMed and actually how you use it, what's it all about? I mean, I know it's
absolutely. So basically, CogMed is designed to be done on a personal computer. It can be done in home. It can be done at school. It can be done in a therapy provider's office. And it is essentially 25 sessions, about 5 weeks, of video games. So there's three versions. There's a preschool version, which is about 15 minutes a day. And then there is a version for adolescents and a version for adults. And those two versions are anywhere from 30 minutes to 45 minutes, sometimes a little bit longer depending on breaks. And it's meant to be done in 5 days a week over 5 weeks, so 25 total sessions. In the course, the games are in three categories, and they're fun and engaging, but there's visual games, verbal games, and visuospatial games. Visuospatial meaning things are moving on the screen, sort of asteroid style.
Yep.
And so the wonderful thing about CogMed and why it's been so helpful in applying to our coaching is that the games track incredible data throughout the process. So we learn a lot of things from the patterns that come up in the data, and the data is presented in a way that if you know, and some clients, they, you know, they don't care about the data, and others care a lot, but regardless, the coach gets some amazing information. But the data is presented in this beautiful way that I can sit down with a child and go through, like, hey, look, this is what that looked like, that thing that you experienced that you have recent memory of, and the, you know, the strategies that you're using to play the games. Let's see what those strategies are doing. And the way the data is presented, it opens up dialogue. So I found that while, you know, that it has had a wonderful impact on the ability to coach a client, what I've seen in the impact it's had actually on the client themselves has been also wonderful. You know, there's certain results that can be expected, like better academic achievement or increased comprehension for math or reading, and certainly the ability to hold and attention and retain information for easier access over time. So those are expected.
So the CogMed, you said you had the 5 sessions a week for 25 weeks. It's basically kind of computer type games, which is kind of funny. You know, you think about how computer games in adolescents and preschool, but I'll come back a second. But the process, what I'm hearing you say, it produces some results. So you can sit down with somebody and take a look at the results, which will help you, kind of fundamentally understand more how they normally organize information in their head and how their working memory works. And what I'm also hearing is through that process, not only do you learn about it and it allows you to have a conversation with the person that you're working with, but I'm also hearing that it actually does help train the brain to hold and store information longer.
It absolutely does. It's creating a better stamina for paying attention.
Well, I like that word,
essentially
stamina.
What it is. And so it's increasing the brain's ability to do what it needs to do, so that it's almost, if you think about it, building a better boundary to manage emotions and distractions, which are really what get in the way for people who have some sort of an attention issue. CogMed is also proven to show some results for, other types of working memory deficits that aren't necessarily ADD or ADHD related, but whether it's traumatic brain injury or stroke or aging, Alzheimer's. So there's some interesting and fascinating applications. The other reason that CogMed has been such an impressive choice, and there are many brain training tools on the market, but the others are not evidence-based in the way that CogMed is. And the other thing that's different is that they don't adjust the degree of difficulty based on the pattern of play the way CogMed does. Because it's so data-driven, it is adjusting in real time to where the brain is in the moment, versus if you're playing like a Nintendo brain game or doing sort of a more out-of-the-box solution, it isn't adjusting based on what the brain is doing in real time. It's running its own program.
So I'm hearing like the software program, CogMed, is actually kind of learning the person's brain and making adjustments for what they
do.
Exactly, yeah. Kind of honing that in to kind of, A, work more efficiently, and again, kind of really kind of hone in exactly how that person's actually organizing and storing that working memory and dealing with it.
Yeah, and because the games are, you know, it's repetitive. It's 5 weeks of experiential data on top of the quantitative data. So it opens up, CogMed includes in the training program 5 weeks of weekly coaching check-ins.
Okay.
The way that I've integrated it into our coaching practice, we sort of combine the coaching together. So
mm-hmm.
it's a bit different from the way other providers perhaps integrate CogMed into their practices. So that would be the one thing that's a little bit different. But in the process of checking in on a regular basis throughout the CogMed training, the reason that CogMed's built that in is to first keep it, keep everybody engaged and motivated and excited and on track, and also to learn about what are those strategies, what games are you playing first and why, and how are you playing that game and how are you getting better, what frustrates you, and the questions, the dialogue that's opened up is really wonderful for the client. And I've seen some beautiful things with the students that have done it, because it's not often that they sort of speak the video game language.
Yep.
So they're sort of doing something in their comfort zone, and they're not used to anybody asking, like, hey, how are you playing that game? But there's really good, good information there.
Absolutely.
And so I found that really helpful. And some of the other results that we've seen that are very cool, impact on handwriting. A student was released from the occupational therapy for improvement within 5 weeks of finishing the CogMed, improvement in handwriting. Increased once another student went up 200 points in their SATs. So we've seen real tangible results. When a parent calls and says, our family yells at each other a lot less, like, that to me is better than hearing my kid got an A, but, you know, it's all wonderful nonetheless. But that happens too.
Yeah, well, the A is the tangible improvement, but the less yelling is really the proof in the pudding that something's working here.
Something's working, and it's a combination of all of it. It's a combination of the self-awareness, breaking down the sort of, you know, taboo of talking about attention in the first place, and understanding, like, hey, here are some systems that my brain naturally goes to and implements, and then through the coaching part, how do we take this information that the computer is giving us and your brain is giving us, and then also the body, you know, what's the body language while you're playing and all that.
Yeah, how's it all come together and how we apply it?
Exactly.
I tell you what, I'd like to go to a break here and come back and maybe talk about some tangible situations and some experience you have so that some of the listeners can get a sense of that. But before we do, for those that might be interested in learning more about Space of Mind yourself, how can people find you and contact you?
Well, all of our contact information is on our website, which is findspaceofmind.com. And the phone number is 877-407-1122.
Excellent, excellent. So I tell you what, let's just pause here. We'll go for a break, and we'll come back, and we'll pick up discussion. So we'll be right back.
Sounds good.
This is Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. When you're stuck, what do you pay attention to? If you're paying attention to the same logic or level of thinking that created the problem, maybe you need to pay attention to something else. Dick Coaching excavates outcomes by paying attention to what you pay attention to. After all, if you're paying attention to the wrong thing, you're likely paying attention to the wrong solution. To learn more about finding your obvious solution, go to DickCoaching.com and download the free audio file, Finding the Obvious Solutions When They Aren't So Obvious. Don't delay, do it today.
If you have a topic that you want covered or question answered, just email us at info@digcoaching.com.
Be part of the show. Dial 646-652-4409. And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, listeners. Again, today's topic is CogMed, an insightful discussion among coaches. With us today is Allie Kaufman, founder of Space of Mind. Allie and her business are really kind of about coaching and create a program to help you understand and pay attention in organization. And Allie, it's interesting because I was looking over the notes from our call so far, and it sounds like it's like this three-step process of working with people using coaching as a skill to help them understand how they naturally pay attention to things by paying attention to what they're paying attention to, and then using this tool, CogMed, to kind of help train their brain to kind of train their working memory and increase the sustainability. And after these two components are done, then you guys walk in and you create the environment and you create systems around how this particular person's different and unique. So it's really kind of exciting. We've got about 8.5 minutes to go. Can you share some stories about people that you've worked with, particularly with CogMed and stuff, like what you learned from, went through, and maybe some systems and some environments that you helped them put together that were real successful so the listeners can really kind of get an idea of what this looks like?
Sure. Well, I can give you two examples. The first is that I've had some really amazing success working with my clients who are chronically cluttered, some of whom are hoarding and have some pretty chronic anxiety and attention issues, along with the emotions that come with that kind of clutter. And what I have found using CogMed is that the visuospatial part of their working memories has been really low compared to their verbal and just plain visual memories. And with verbal actually being the highest. And so it's been interesting because if you think about the elements of chronic clutter where, it's sort of like just piles everywhere and nothing truly has a home, there's no real landmark to retrace your steps to find things. So it can be very disorienting to be in an environment, even if it isn't like at a dangerous level of clutter, just a little level of clutter, it can still be disorienting, but when it's sort of all around you, it can be paralyzing. And in using the visuospatial games that are in the CogMed training, it not only opened up, like I said before, the dialogue to talk about just moving within somebody's time and space, which for someone who just moving requires a lot of maneuvering, that's a difficult conversation anyway. And so where if you imagine some of the visuospatial games are things moving around on a screen and you have to, just like the game, for example, Asteroids and sort of hit the aliens or whatever in a certain order. And recalling that order, what that is the equivalent of, well, I was holding a pair of scissors, I walked into this room, I walked into that room, I walked over there, I walked over there, somewhere I put the scissors down and now I need the scissors. And how do you do that if there is no landmark in your space to sort of retrace your steps? By what I found is through CogMed, by building not just the the actual muscle of the visuospatial working memory, but through the dialogue of the strategies that are being played and what the data shows, we're building a self-awareness of what is visuospatial working memory and how is that part of what we do every single minute of the day. And so when it comes to my clients for whom physical clutter is a problem, I have found that some really awesome things. Over this past summer, I worked with a recently graduated high school senior who I don't think had ever cleaned his room ever. But the conversation that had come up as he was doing CogMed around his visuospatial working memory, 1 week I just showed up and he had organized his whole bedroom one afternoon just because all of a sudden in the conversation prior when we were talking about the visuospatial working memory and in understanding how he was playing the game already, he figured out, oh, here's how I would clean my room. And
so,
it's very related.
So metaphorically, I don't know if I'm articulating this, it's almost like the games kind of help train the brain or create habits in the brain of organizing some things in such a way so it's not kind of random. And then once the game's kind of without a lot of effort and trying, you just kind of naturally play the games, and it kind of helps pattern a behavior of thinking or organization. And then once that's there, that's adapted to however you do it. And then once it's there, you leave the game and you go out and externally, you still have that kind of habit or pattern in your head that allows you to apply it in your world. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty accurate. And what it's doing underlying all of that and in the work that I know you do, Jeff, with your clients and same is that it's about creating a pattern of success. And so what that does is it contributes to improved confidence. If you have a new understanding of how your brain is doing things and you have a new confidence that your brain is going to, so to speak, have your back, you know,
yep,
that your brain can back up what you think your intelligence tells you it
yep
should be able to do, then there's a piece that gets filled in that allows you to get organized, but it isn't a logistic piece. It's a confidence piece. And organizing is not about logistics. It's about understanding and being able to categorize the information that's coming in. But that has nothing to do with how much space you have or what kind of container you buy or
yep,
or it has to do with how you feel about the stuff that you're touching and thinking about and maneuvering around. And CogMed builds it. Sorry.
Yeah, this is real exciting. I'm kind of bumming because we've only got about 2 minutes to go. Kind of what I got an aha on is it's nice that you can go into a coaching situation, become aware of how you do it, and it's interesting. Rely on this game a little bit where you don't have to figure it all out. You just kind of go in and deal with the computer, and it relates back to you, and it, I mean, you're just playing the game, and it kind of trains you the pattern of almost habit or organization type thing. And then what I'm hearing is you almost kind of naturally just take that into your world. So I'm not going to say it's effort-free, but it's really kind of freeing to believe that you can just kind of go play a game a little bit, and it'll actually help you.
Yeah, it's not effort-free, and it's not for everybody because it's a commitment. And when it's a child doing the training, it really, I've found that the best training, the best value for the training is that there needs to be a really committed training aide, somebody who is overseeing that training and responsible for keeping up the motivation during the daily sessions, but also observing that. Like I said, there's so much to be learned from the data and from the dialogue, but there's also so much to be learned from the body language and from the measuring the frustration level. And maybe, you know, we found that if you, okay, let's take a minute and take a break and, you know, because it's 25 days in a short amount of time. You know, the goal is to do it in a 5-week span, although there's a little bit of leeway on the end of that. So, you know, it takes the right match, but I've seen amazing results.
Well, that's awesome. Awesome. Well, Allie, we're going to have to start wrapping this up because we've got about 20 seconds left. But before we do, I want to thank you for coming on to the show. And I want to give you a chance. Can you let everybody again know how they can contact you if they've got any questions?
Sure. Thanks again for having me. It's Space of Mind, and the website is www.findspaceofmind.com, and the number is 877-407-1122.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Allie. Till 2 weeks from now, everybody, we're going to be break, but I look forward to being back on the show on the 8th of January. Take care, all.
Thanks, Seth.